independent in thought and punk rock in life. It's the Chad Benson Show.
Hammer and Nigel filling in for Chad Benson. My name is Nigel. That is Hammer sitting over there. Jason Hammer, as it were. At Chad Benson Show on Twitter, or you can get a hold of us at Hammer and Nigel. We have an update on our girl, Tommy Lahren.
Tommy Lahren.
From Blaze.
Out at the Blaze, the network owned by Glenn Beck. You remember last week, she was suspended for the entire week for appearing on The View, where she had mentioned that she was pro-choice.
I have that clip right here. Let me play that here.
I'm pro-choice, and here's why. I am a constitutional, you know, someone that loves the Constitution. I am someone that's for limited government, and so I can't sit here and be a hypocrite and say I'm for limited government, but I think that the government should decide what women do with their bodies. I can sit here and say that as a Republican, and I can say, you know what, I'm for limited government, so stay out of my guns, and you can stay out of my body as well.
So that was on The View. Tommy Lahren from The Blaze. Then she was suspended for a week. Glenn Beck suspended her. The Blaze, the executives, whoever it was. I'm sure Glenn had a hand in that. And now, reading on TMZ.com, because that's where I go to get all my hard news, Hammer.
And they're usually right. You know, above usually. TMZ is right probably 99% of the time.
Sources familiar with the situation say that Tommy went to the head honchos at The Blaze and said she wants out. There's clearly bad blood. Sources say over at The Blaze that Tommy's getting trashed. She's too crazy for us. And again, that's TMZ.com citing sources over at The Blaze. I don't know, you know, but no, TMZ usually right.
You can bash them, you can call them, you know, tabloid or whatever, but TMZ's usually first and they're usually right, which is a great combination. The verbiage that they're using is, quote, banned permanently.
She's banned
permanently.
Got like a headshot of her hanging up in the lobby with a big crossover, like a big do not let this person in.
It's kind of like at a college liquor store, you know, the wall of fake IDs that are hanging up. Tommy's face is now hanging up there at the Blaze headquarters. We've kind of had this discussion before, Nigel, that I don't care what your stance is on abortion.
Oh, please. Can we argue about abortion?
Let's We're going to change argument. Everybody's mind.
Let's debate about that for the next hour.
My issue is this. I don't like the fact that a station like The Blaze with conservative views took a page out of the left's playbook and suspended somebody just because they did not like what they had to say. Tommy Lahren wasn't suspended because she went out and got a DUI or committed a crime. She probably made a poor choice in going on The View. She probably said some things she now regrets, even though she won't publicly say it. I bet in the back of her mind, she's probably thinking, I probably should not have done that. But she had reasons why she felt that way. It was her opinion. Her job is to give her opinion.
And by the way, she's conservative on a lot of issues, like, you know, national security, immigration, fiscally, the budget. You know, she has more of a libertarian point of view when it comes to abortion.
And I think this is something that conservatives are going to have to look at and take on in the next couple of years, because it seems like there's two factions of conservatism. Number one, you've got the old school folks like Glenn Beck that think you have to be 100% all in or nothing. If you disagree with anything, you're out of the club. Then there's the younger group, like Tommy Lahren, and a lot of younger folks as well, that are probably 85, 90% to the right, but there are some caveats they might disagree with. But that seems to me what happened here. Tommy wasn't all in. She wasn't part of the 100% group that Glenn Beck wanted, and he took a page out of the liberal playbook and suspended somebody because he didn't like what they had to say.
I listened to a little bit of Glenn Beck. He's not one of those guys that's all in. He was never all in on Trump. He endorsed Hillary. He wasn't going to vote for Donald Trump. But you're right. That did surprise me a little bit that he suspended her. And then at one point, you and I were theorizing, Hammer, that this may have been a whole ploy to get them to talk, you know, a whole smoke and mirrors thing. Hey, let's just, you know what, take a week's vacation. It's no big deal. We'll get a lot of mileage out of this, Tommy. Now, apparently, that's not the case. And it says, let me get back on my TMZ website. We're told she has 6 months left on her contract, and The Blaze was willing to pay her out, but that would have meant Tommy couldn't work until October. We're told both sides are negotiating her exit She will get less than 6 months of remaining salary, but she will be able to take another job. I'm sure she'll be fine.
She's going to be okay.
Chances she lands at Fox.
Better than average.
Fox News.
Better than average. It just...
she'll be okay.
It rubs me the wrong way because I look at so many of these speakers that go speak at these, you know, college campuses, and what happens? People protest and don't allow them to speak. And what do we do as conservatives? We rake them over the coals for doing so. We are supposed to be the ones that allow the free speech. And even if you disagree with it, you damn well have the right to say it. And Glenn Beck totally took the liberal route and suspending Tommy because he did not like what she had to say.
I don't know.
That bothers me.
I was surprised that that happened, but this must not have been the only incident with her. I can only fear.
Sure.
I can only speculate. But I mean, you're absolutely right. A conservative speaker going to a college campus and being shut down by protesters, that's the very definition of fascism. And I think you can have freedom of speech, obviously, but there's not freedom from consequences. If you or I tweet something out on our social media page that's offensive or mean-spirited, we could be fired from our jobs.
Absolutely.
That is that.
But I also think there's a proper way to do something. I would imagine if you or I tweeted something that was inappropriate, first thing that would happen, we'd kind of get taken in a back room, and they would make it so it's not an over-the-top production to where it gets out in the media.
Yeah, her and Glenn, they were even responding back and forth to each other on Twitter right after this happened.
Yeah, they were kind of bitching and moaning back and forth on Twitter. And now the question becomes, what's next for the Blaze? Because they've lost their star attraction. With all due respect to Dana, and I love Dana, and with all due respect to Glenn Beck, Tommy was the star, your 20-year-old, blonde, beautiful, conservative star, and now she's gone.
I love it when you say no disrespect. Anytime someone says no disrespect, you could expect someone's getting ready to get disrespected.
There's some disrespect coming right up the highway.
Yeah, you think she was the big star? I mean, Glenn Beck is the big star over there.
Look at the ratings.
Dana's huge.
Look
too.
At the ratings, and it's not even close. It's not even close. And Tommy's camp, according to TMZ a week ago, they were complaining about that Glenn Beck had some sort of problem knowing the fact that he wasn't the big fish over there anymore. Now, again, that's just one side of
it's his network.
The opinion. But true. But let's just say all of a sudden, Tyrone Liu decides he's going to become the owner of the Cleveland Cavaliers and activate himself. That doesn't mean he's still the best player on the team. There's that LeBron James guy over there.
Kind of like Roger Dorn did in Major League 2.
Right.
Corbin Burnson's character.
He activated himself. Still wasn't the best player on the team, and that's something Glenn Beck needs to understand. You can be the boss, but you don't necessarily have to be the team's most valuable player.
Hammer, you've had the entire weekend to let the Republican healthcare disaster sink in. It's sinking in through your pores. Has anything changed in your mind in terms of how bad the whole thing is for Team Trump?
There are three things that went down that I thought about this weekend. Number one, the big winner wasn't Nancy Pelosi. It wasn't Barack Obama. It was CNN. Because CNN hates Donald Trump with a fiery passion. And when the news came down that this healthcare bill was not going to happen, this was Jake Tapper's reaction.
Yes! Yes! Oh, yeah! Can you feel that, buddy? Huh? Huh? Huh?
And the second thing that crossed my mind, have been Jake Tapper.
Okay, I was going to say, that. Are you sure that was Jake Tapper?
That was actually Ace Ventura, but the reaction was similar. Second thing that crossed my mind was, how long did some of these guys know that this bill was a turd? And we saw a report come out this weekend from the New York Times that Mike Pence, Vice President Pence, was really pushing Donald Trump to call this Ryan Care because they did not want anything to do with this.
Paul Ryan's like, don't call it Ryan Care. I don't want my name on this thing. Nobody wanted their name on this thing. Funny how a lot of Republicans got out in front of this way ahead of time and were like, I don't want anything to do with this. And it looks like, you know, basically Republicans had seven, eight years to come up with something, and this was it, and it was awful.
They had all this time to study, and they decided to cram the night before the midterm, and as luck would have it, they failed the exam. But the big question that I came up with this weekend was, Do we need someone to blame? Does there have to be blame before we move forward with tax reform? And Paul Ryan went out on Friday afternoon, as soon as this bill was dead in the water, and he decided that growing pains were to blame.
I will not sugarcoat this. This is a disappointing day for us. Moving from an opposition party to a governing party comes with growing pains. And, well, we're feeling those growing pains.
Show me that smile again.
No person to blame, just growing pains.
There's a lot of blame to go around. Republicans, Democrats, conservatives,
a
liberals,
lot of people blaming Paul Ryan.
A lot of people. You could even go so far as to blame Donald Trump for setting this steadfast, arbitrary date that it had to be done by, which coincidentally was the anniversary of Obamacare 7 years ago. And, you know, why couldn't he have said, look, just take your time on this. Let's get it right. We don't have to have it done by this day. Instead, it was the complete opposite approach. Donald Trump all in, strong-arming Congress, which is never a good idea.
But if you're Donald Trump, though, and you're running for office, and it's primary season, and one of your platforms is replace, repeal Obamacare, you would think that these guys you're going to go work with have something brewing, right? I mean, they've had 7 years to think about it. There'd
think.
Be something on the back burner, right? Well, Donald Trump went out after Paul Ryan, and we anticipated him to maybe tear somebody up, but he actually took the high road.
I like Speaker Ryan. He worked very, very hard. A lot of different groups. He's got a lot of factions. I think Paul really worked hard, and I would say that we will probably start going very, very strongly for the big tax cuts and tax reform. That'll be next.
A lot of different groups, a lot of factions, a lot of ins and outs. It's a complicated case.
It's a very complicated case, Maude. You know, a lot of ins, a lot of outs, a lot of what have yous.
It's a big Lebowski.
It's the dude. That's Donald Trump right there explaining what went wrong with health care.
This is a very complicated case.
So just when it looked like everybody was taking the high road, they were being responsible, nobody was finger pointing, it looked like everything was good.
Sure.
Then Donald Trump sends out a tweet that was very bizarre. He invites everybody to watch Judge Jeanine on Fox. Okay. People wondering, is he going to make a statement? Is he going to, you know, roll out a new plan? No.
Paul Ryan needs to step down as Speaker of the House.
Wow.
Those were the first words out of Judge Jeanine's mouth after Donald Trump tweeted, everybody needs to watch this show.
Yeah, I haven't seen Donald Trump tweet about Judge Jeanine very often, have I? I've never seen it. That was the one and only time, and now he's backing off the tweet saying, well, not so. I didn't know she was going to say that.
Oh, stop it. Stop it. You absolutely knew she was going to rip Paul Ryan a new one. We are Hammer and Nigel. We're filling in for Chad Benson tonight. Tweet at us at Hammer and Nigel.
And by the way, I've got a celebrity sex tape news.
Ooh.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. This is breaking, Hammer. An all-new celebrity sex tape. I'll fill you in on that next. It's the Hammer and Nigel show, filling in for Chad Benson.
Feeling confused? No worries. That's why he's here. This is the Chad Benson Show, setting things straight.
We are the Hammer and Nigel Show, filling in for Chad Benson tonight. You can find us on Twitter, at Hammer and Nigel. We're Jason Hammer. We're having an interesting debate on whether or not boneless chicken wings are really just ordinary chicken nuggets. That's the kind of hard-hitting content you'll find at Hammer and Nigel on Twitter. But it seems to be a social media debate, like what color is the dress,
right?
Kind of thing that's going around on Twitter right now. Are
boneless chicken wings really just chicken nuggets?
My answer, hell yes. Don't go to a wing place and order boneless wings. Be a man. Order real wings.
I like boneless wings.
Well, go to McDonald's then.
You can't get them with honey barbecue sauce and the hot flavor
yes,
on them.
Yes, you can. The dipping
no, you
sauces.
Can't.
The
dipping sauce sucks. I want the entire wing covered in it. Then you dip that in another sauce. What's wrong with you? You act like you go to these wing places all the time. You're on a cleanse. Shut up.
I am on a cleanse, and that cleanse was destroyed over the weekend with many, many, many beers and many, many, many wings watching college basketball.
Bone-in wings.
Yeah.
So feel free to tweet at us, at Hammer and Nigel. The question is, are boneless chicken wings really just chicken nuggets?
Celebrity sex tape, Hammer. This is breaking news. RadarOnline.com has exclusively obtained a copy of a sex tape starring...
Ted Danson.
No, God, no. Britney Spears.
Oh, all right. All right, now we're cooking.
Okay, in the footage, which Radar has decided not to publish, but describe in great detail, Spears is topless while smoking what looks to be a joint and gyrating on top of a secret lover.
So they'll give us play-by-play, but they won't post the damn video.
No.
Do they have, like, you know, Kevin Harlan doing play-by-play in the background and...
Yeah, exactly. I didn't know that there was supposedly a rumor going around a few years back that she made a sex tape with Justin Timberlake, her ex-boyfriend.
That's been gossiped before. I've heard that. And I've always had a little thing in my heart for Britney. Britney's kind of the, you know, thing that I grew up with.
Britney's your celebrity pass. You and your wife have an interesting agreement, right?
If I ever get the chance to wear Britney's underpants as a hat, I get to do that with no questions asked.
Okay, so Radar Online... .com says they have this tape, which they are not going to publish. They're worried about, you know, if she'll turn into crazy Britney again and shave her head and start beating paparazzi over the head with an umbrella. So Radar Online says they have it. Although the footage of the new flick has been viewed by Radar, a rep for Spears has denied that such a tape exists. You watching this tape if it's made available?
Oh yes, absolutely. And you can judge me if you want, but I'll pretty much watch any celebrity tape. I don't care if it's Dr. Phil and Oprah. Somebody puts it in front of me, I'm probably going to watch it.
Good God. All right, we're back in a minute. It's the Hammer and Nigel Show, filling in for Mr. Chad Benson.
Chad Benson Show.
Independent in thought and punk rock in life. It's the Chad Benson Show.
Hammer and Nigel Show, filling in for Chad Benson tonight. My name is Nigel. Jason Hammer sitting right over there. At Chad Benson Show is the Twitter handle, or you can find us on Twitter as well, at Hammer and Nigel. We are also taking your calls at 844-DIG-CHAD. Hammer, did you swatch North Carolina v. Kentucky yesterday? Men's college basketball NCAA tournament.
One of the greatest NCAA tournament games I've ever seen.
Went out with my brother-in-law yesterday, went to a bar, bellied up, watched the entire thing, drank some delicious IPAs, had some food that was unhealthy, and just enjoyed being a guy watching basketball yesterday.
Speaking of the bar, did you see the video going around that somebody had in a Kentucky sports bar? I think it was on campus at the University of Kentucky.
Oh, man.
And it was the, you know, thrill of what they thought was, you know, victory and then the agony of defeat.
Take us through what happened at the end of the Kentucky-North Carolina game.
Well, down by three, Kentucky hits this ridiculous three-pointer. Kid was conjointed all different directions, knocks it down. They think they're going to overtime. Game is tied. There's 6 seconds left. No timeouts for North Carolina. They inbound the ball. They come down. They find some dude in the corner just by the three-point line. Knocks down the game-winning jumper as time expires.
And yeah, I've seen those videos, the viral videos going around now on Facebook of, you know, the cameras in the Kentucky bar. It's all a sea of Kentucky blue. Kentucky fans going nuts when they hit the three-pointer, but 6 seconds later, their lives are destroyed. Their hearts ripped out.
And if you don't know much about college basketball, basketball at the University of Kentucky is religion. It's religion. Yeah. That's all that it is. Think about what football is to Alabama. Football is to USC. Basketball is like that at Kentucky.
So who do we have for the Final Four?
We've got North Carolina taking on Oregon, and then Gonzaga taking on South Carolina.
Oh, yeah, I saw South Carolina win, too. That was an upset, and poor Hootie was, old Hootie was crying on the sidelines. Darius Rutgers, a South Carolina guy.
Tears of joy coming out of Hootie's eyes. You know who I like a lot, and that's South Carolina's coach, Frank Martin.
Yes.
He's just an old school dude, man. He looks like he could be like the bouncer outside of like a nightclub in South Beach in Miami.
Right.
You know, it kind of looks like just a mafia style hard ass. And he's been doing it with defense. He preaches defense to his team. He was doing a press conference before the game they had with Florida in the Elite Eight. And Sports Illustrated for Kids, they had a little reporter there. They always send a kid to cover the games. His name was Max Bonstetter, and he asked a great question.
Max Bonstetter, Sports Illustrated for Kids. Coach, congratulations on the win tonight. Your team clearly won the defensive battle tonight. When you coach and teach your team defense, what's more important, technique or attitude?
First of all, a lot of respect to you. That's a heck of a question. I've been doing this a long time, and that's the first time anyone's ever asked me that. That's a heck of a question.
What a cool moment for that kid.
Right.
He's going to remember that for the rest of his life. I'm sure his parents, if that was my kid, I would be beaming with pride as a father. What a cool moment.
And a lot of people would think that's just the coach being cool, which it was.
Totally.
But the next day after practice, Coach Martin came into his press conference, and this was the first thing that he said.
Where's my guy from last night?
He'll be back tomorrow, maybe.
He'll be back? I got to tell you now, when that young man asked the question he asked yesterday, and I'm not trying to get any national attention on this. My SID told me that it's become like a story. I wish I can express myself like that when I was his age. I'm telling you, that is as articulate and good a question as I've been asked all year. That was powerful stuff.
Frank Martin, head coach, South Carolina.
So we're all in agreement. It was a great question. The kid asked it with confidence, and that's what it's all about. You got to be confident. You got to be prepared. But some national sports writers thought that the kid was trying to be cute, and they had a problem with it.
This is really just kind of shameful. Dennis Dodd, CBS Sports, he went on some radio show and said the reporter's question to Frank Martin was cute but an insult to the profession. He said this on a radio show. David Caravaggio, I don't know how to say his name, I don't care. SI for Kids report, this is what he tweeted. SI for Kids reporter is cute and all, but not a fan of an off-topic question at 1 a.m. when beat writers are trying to pull gamers together.
Explain to me how that was an off-topic question.
Oh, I think this guy, I think he was referring to something else, another SI Kids question from a different game. But either way, it's a bad look. And this Dennis Dodd guy did a complete 180. He later went out and tweeted, SI for Kids kid asked a great question. My apologies to him and the magazine. I've asked plenty of dumb questions. Well done to him and Frank Martin.
And then Caravello spins it by saying that he was actually talking about an SI Kids question from a different game.
Oh, so that makes it better.
But if you look at his timeline, that tweet that you read, Nigel, March 25th, 1:13 a.m. Can you not be a jerk for 5 minutes?
I mean, it's social media. Good Lord. Somebody's always got to complain about something. This kid from Sports Illustrated, he's going to have a solid career.
Yes.
You can already tell that. How old was he? Do we know how old he was?
I'm not sure how old he was.
Sports Illustrated, I mean, he sounded like he was 10, 11 years old. But you got to find, but people always have to have something to bitch about. And this was they got ripped to shreds on Twitter, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's why they had to do those half-assed apologies. And in regards to David Caravaggio, whatever the hell his name is, the sports writer from South Carolina, how much do you really know about sports, David? Because the kid asked a question about defense. Your team is all about defense. That's what Frank Martin preaches on. That's why they're in the Final Four. To say that it's off topic, get the hell out of here. So let me ask you this, Nigel. Frank Martin, a lot of people were kind of researching him, looking up now, because they kind of like what he's doing. He's kind of that everyday, go to work every day, nose to the grindstone kind of guy. There's a thing going around social media that Frank Martin said earlier in the year. This wasn't during the NCAA tournament, but it's kind of popped back into light due to their recent success. I'm going to read this quote from Frank Martin, and I want your opinion. Quote, "You know what makes me sick to my stomach? When I hear grown people say that kids have changed. Kids haven't changed. Kids don't know anything about anything. We've changed as adults. We demand less of kids. We expect less of kids. We make their lives easier instead of preparing them for what life is truly about. We're the ones that have changed. To blame the kids is a cop-out." End quote, Frank Martin.
Standing applause right here. What's that? Well, we got somebody on the line that wants to talk about chicken wings. Is that what you... All right, Randy, go ahead.
Hey,
where are you calling from?
Hey, fellas. Well, amen to that, what Martin said. Holy cow, I'm saying that myself. Chicken wings, there is a difference. If you care or not, who knows? But the difference is a boneless chicken wing is a whole muscle cut, right? And a nugget is a minced up piece of crap on the carcass before they throw it in the trash can, and it's formed into this little piece of crap. And they throw it in the deep fryer, and it tastes delicious.
But Randy, my whole thing is, this is Nigel speaking here. Randy, my whole thing is, you can't to call it a wing. You have to have a bone in it. Does that make sense to you?
I'm not going to argue with you. It's a tender. You know, it's a chicken tender is actually what it is. It ain't no freaking wing, but actually, you know, a chicken wing ain't a chicken wing either. You know, so we bastardize that whole thing. If it's got a bone in it, dunk it in some blue cheese and some freaking hot sauce and give it to me.
Teriyaki, baby. I'd order nothing but teriyaki.
Honey barbecue for me. Randy, thank you so much, man. We appreciate it. And again, we've kind of joked about this, Nigel. We could talk about the health care bill all night long. We could talk about Ted Koppel versus Sean Hannity all night long. But we start talking about chicken wings, Twitter blows up, the phone lines blow up. This is what America wants right now. A good old-fashioned discussion and debate on what is a chicken wing and what is a nugget.
Do we want to do one shining moment before we hit a break here? You want to set this up?
Let's go ahead and do this. Everybody's talking about the health care bill. Everybody's talking about the NCAA tournament. Mm. So what we've done here at the Hammer and Nigel Show, we've combined the two into this one big awesome tribute.
Let me get in the right place here. Here we go.
We came really close today, but we came up short. I will not sugarcoat this. This is a disappointing day for us. Moving from an opposition party to a governing party comes with growing pains. And, well, we're feeling those growing pains today.
I like Speaker Ryan. He worked very, very hard.
Paul Ryan needs to step down as Speaker of the House.
Wow.
The best thing we can do, politically speaking, is let Obamacare explode. It is exploding right now. One shining moment. I think the losers are Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer.
One shining moment mashup there. And my favorite part there at the end, Hammer, is where Donald Trump just can't get through a press conference without calling somebody a loser.
I think the losers are Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer.
He can't do it. He can't get through a single press conference or press briefing without insulting somebody.
He knows what the people want to hear, right, and the people want the hits. When you go see Journey in concert, you want Don't Stop Believing. When you go see Bon Jovi, you want Living on a Prayer. And when you hear Donald Trump speak, you want somebody to be called a loser.
Coming up next, wrapping up here the show. What's this about Obama's birthday? Is this for real?
This is for real. There's a state that wants to make his birthday a holiday, a paid day off. We'll talk about all the ramifications with that and why you need to know the name Footy McFootface.
That's next. It's the Hammer and Nigel Show, filling in for Chad Benson.
If you like talk radio like Chad Benson likes his meals, you've come to the perfect place for takeout.
The Hammer and Nigel Show, wrapping it up here for Chad Benson. My name is Nigel, Jason Hammer over there. Headline Hammer, Illinois Democrat tries and fails to make Obama's birthday a holiday. Can you tell us what happened here?
So the Illinois State House, they're having their meetings right now, like many of the state houses are across the country. A bill was brought up to make Obama's birthday a paid day off, a statewide holiday, despite the fact that he was not born in Illinois, go to school in Illinois, or grow up in the great state of Illinois. However, this only failed by 6 votes. So it came close to becoming a statewide holiday, despite the fact that the other statewide holidays in Illinois take a $16 million hit in lost production. $16 million in lost production for every paid day off in Illinois.
I don't understand. Like a federal holiday in Illinois?
Just
like
statewide,
no,
yeah.
No, okay, statewide, like no school, banks are closed, government offices shut down.
Correct. They wanted Obama's birthday to be that. Representative Tom Demmer of Illinois had a different idea and a different plan.
Throughout Illinois history, we've been privileged to have several presidents who have come from the great state of Illinois or spent significant portions of time in the state of Illinois. I know this with great local pride. I represent Dixon, the hometown of President Ronald Reagan. President Reagan's the only president who was born in the state of Illinois, the only president who went to grade school and high school and college in the state of Illinois, the only president to spend the formative years among the people of the great state of Illinois. But we don't have a holiday for President Reagan. Why exclude? Hopefully, in years to come, we'll have even more presidents who come from Illinois, or more people who go on to change the world come from Illinois. And I don't think we're in a position to extend a holiday, a paid day off, every time we have somebody from Illinois who goes on and does great things.
Twitter had some fun with this, too. I've got some tweets. Somebody wrote, it's a little early for April Fool's Day, no? somebody else wrote, wow, this is not from The Onion. This almost happened, for real.
6 votes shy. And I would have loved to have been in the room when Demmer was speaking, because if you ever want to rub Obama supporters the wrong way, if you really want to get their panties in a bunch, make them share a holiday with Ronald Reagan.
Listen, I got to be honest with you. I'm all for days off. I'm that lazy. I like a good day. The radio company you and I work for is the only company I've ever worked for in my life that makes us take President's Day off. Isn't that great? Like, who else do you know besides mailmen and bankers get President's Day off?
Right. As employees, we love it.
Oh, I love it, sure.
But as a lawmaker, you're ready to take another $16 million that you could be paying your police department in Chicago?
Somebody else wrote, because, again, the Obama's birthday, making Obama's birthday a holiday, did not come to fruition in the House. Somebody just wrote, that's so racist.
Of course it was.
But it was a snark. It was snarky. It was a joke. A
couple more things before we bounce out tonight. I don't know how much soccer you watch, Nigel. A lot of people are really into the MLS, Major League Soccer. San Diego was granted an expansion team. So there's going to be a new MLS team coming to San Diego.
Cool.
And they have finalists for the team name, right? And what they did was they made it open to fan voting, which is always a mistake. It doesn't matter what it is. NBA All-Star Game, Major League Baseball All-Star Game. You let the fans vote, they screw it up. Well, the fans voted, and overwhelmingly, right now, the favorite name of the MLS soccer expansion team in San Diego, Footy McFootface.
Yeah, once you let the fans get involved, that the team name, this isn't for like the mascot. This is the name of the team.
Right, the San Diego Footy McFootface.
Runners, I mean, that's the overwhelming lead right now. San Diego Surf, San Diego Bad Hombres. San Diego Armada, but the overwhelming fan majority favorite for the name of the new MLS team in San Diego, Footy McFooty Face.
Fans. I'm rooting for it now.
Yeah.
They're going to find a way to take this off, right? There's no way they can allow their franchise to be called Footy McFootface.
No, that will not happen. What's the story about the guys eating pancakes in the middle of the road?
So I'll give you one guess which state this took place in.
All right. Texas.
Close. Florida.
Of course. Okay.
Everything bizarre happens in Florida. Two dudes decided to set up a table, have breakfast, eat pancakes in the middle of a busy intersection near a traffic light. And this was the 911 call that came in to the police department.
Michael, police department, up at 508.
I've got a problem. Or you guys got one before somebody gets ran over. There's two guys sitting at a table in the middle of the crosswalk, in the middle of a green light, eating pancakes.
That was a little unusual. We do have
unusual. He's got one of the guys who's got a mouth full of gold teeth cussing everybody.
I would pay money. I would be one of those people in the cars. I would pull over and get out of my car to watch this. They were in the middle of the crosswalk of the street.
Yeah, one guy had pajama pants on. He was shirtless, gold grill, fork, knife, cutting up pancakes, having breakfast.
We do have unusual.
He's got one of the guys who's got a mouth full of gold teeth cussing everybody.
At Hammer and Nigel, our Twitter handle. We're filling in for Chad Benson. See you tomorrow.
This is the Chad Benson Show.